our next guest. Arden Zwelling, you can catch his work on the At the Letters podcast and him writing about baseball on Sportsnet.ca. He joins Walker and Sat here on Sportsnet 650. How you doing, pal?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yesterday, I mean, you know how it is. Like, there's not a lot of actual sports going on, and the NFL draft was so big. The Major League Baseball draft is something that even true baseball fans have a difficult time getting into it at the best of times, and there's generally like 40 rounds to this thing. But they changed the format this year, and so I feel like more people had a bit of an awareness of what was going on. The Blue Jays picked fifth overall. Now, with the caveat that no one has really watched the player they pick, if you follow the mock drafts, it appears that the Blue Jays did pretty well in getting Austin Martin. What's your take on it?
Yeah, the draft could not have broken better for them. I mean, the only way it could have broken better would be if, you know, the number one overall pick, Spencer Torkelson, fell to them. But that was never going to happen. He was always going to go first overall. Detroit always coveted him, so he was off the board. And then things just took a crazy turn at number two when the Baltimore Orioles went way down the board and grabbed Heston Kjerstad. And Baltimore's GM, Mike Elias, did something similar with the Houston Astros back in the day when he took Carlos Correa first overall, which is really unexpected, in order to save some bonus pool money and grab Lance McCullers later. So he's doing some of that same jujitsu here. And then the dominoes just fell. Miami reached for Max Meyer, and Kansas City really wanted a pitcher in Asa Lacy. And I think that the Blue Jays certainly prepared for this scenario where Austin Martin might drop to them, just because they prepare for every scenario and they run a thousand simulations and they know exactly what they would do in each of them. But I think if you hooked, you know, the Blue Jays front office up to a lie detector test, I don't think any of them would tell you that they expected Austin Martin to be there for them at number five. This was a guy with, you know, who was expected to go second in the draft to Baltimore, and who a lot of people think is the best position player available in the draft. So I think the Blue Jays were ecstatic to get him where they did.
And the baseball draft is so different than the other drafts. And if you just look at it from the traditional lens, none of this makes sense, because seemingly one of the issues with Austin Martin was, well, Scott Boras is his agent. Some teams didn't want to overcommit to that amount of money they would have to pay him, so they drafted somebody a bit higher to pay him below slot to allow them to sign other guys. You don't see these types of things in other sports, Arden. So you're not going to see, say, in basketball, a player who's a consensus top two guy slip to number five because they're not sure what type of contract he's going to get. And that's the fascinating part of this to me, Arden, is just how different the MLB draft is and how there are bigger picture considerations to who you take. And it's not just about the talent. And that's why a guy like him found himself at number five.
Yeah, baseball's a mess, isn't it? Look at it. If you're in the NBA draft and you're selected high in the first round, it's a good chance you're going to be in the NBA next season immediately. There's a good chance you're going to be in the starting lineup. If you're taken anywhere in the first round of the MLB draft, you're not going straight to MLB. You're going to the minors, and even if you signed for $6 or $7 million bonus up in the draft, you're still loading onto that bus with the college seniors who signed for a $1,000 bonus, and you're sitting in that dank minor league locker room, and you know you're taking that, you know, meager stipend that'll buy you maybe a dish at Chipotle, and then you're crashing on couches and the whole deal. Like, you are going to the minors. So the players typically like to have some leverage in the draft, whether that is as a high schooler or having a college commitment, so that if a team doesn't pay you what you think you are worth, you can go off to college, improve your draft stock, and hopefully come back and be selected higher with a higher slot value. Similarly with a guy like Austin Martin, he has the opportunity to return to college. I don't think that he will, but he has that leverage, and that is a lever that Scott Boras is going to pull here in the negotiations over a signing bonus with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. I know, well, they lost Beedy a few years ago because he didn't sign, but it's not too often that you get a guy picked that high in the draft and he forgoes a contract. It seems a little silly.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of motivations on both sides to get a deal done here. The thing is, Scott Boras is renowned for stretching these negotiations right down to the wire. Like, it's just how he operates. So I think the Blue Jays fans will be sweating a little bit here, but, you know, it would be a massive surprise if a if a deal didn't get done from the Blue Jays' perspective. This draft broke so well for them. It's such a, you know, it's not capitalizing on this opportunity. It would be such a miss for them. And from Austin Martin's perspective, you're going to go back to college and try to be drafted a few picks higher. You're already number five in the draft. You're already pretty much, you know, you can't improve your draft stock all that much. He might as well take his money now and get into a big league organization and start working his way up the ladder so he can start accruing service time at the major league level and become a free agent earlier.
Arden Zwelling joins us from the At the Letters podcast and Sportsnet.ca. Now, so here in Vancouver, and who knows when baseball gets going again at all levels, but we see the pitchers here, right? We saw Pearson, we saw Manoa. Vlad wasn't a draft pick, but obviously he wasn't going to make a stop in at rookie ball. Bichette was too high end. Is Martin in a similar vein? There's not really a chance that we'd see him in short season A, is there?
No, I don't think. Well, first of all, because I don't think short season A will be played this year.
Right.
And if it, you know, if the minor leagues are played next year, I would imagine Austin Barton would go straight to high A Dunedin and play there. So unfortunately for Canadian fans, I doubt you're going to see him in that jersey.
And I think one of the things that we're trying to look ahead to as well for this year for the Jays, there was so much excitement for Nate Pearson, and now we're not even sure what's going to be happening with the baseball season. But do you think if we have a short season that it's even less likely we see Nate Pearson playing the majors this season?
So if there is a 48 to 50 game MLB season, which is where it looks like we're heading, look, we all hope that the union and the owners can come to some sort of compromise here so that we can have more games, but the clock is ticking, fellas, and these two sides have not seen eye to eye at all. So I think the most likely outcome is that Rob Manfred exercises his power to unilaterally impose a 48, 50, 52 game season. In that type of sprint, I believe you need a guy like Nate Pearson in your rotation right away. It is such a unique opportunity for the Blue Jays to reach the postseason in that scenario because, as you guys know, in 50 games, anything can happen. Everyone talks about the Washington Nationals last year. You know, they were 19-31, 50 games in. They went on to win the World Series. So if you get hot for those, you know, what would that be? 5 weeks of the season, 6 weeks of the season? You could get a playoff spot. You could go on and win a championship. And everyone's going to look back and say, oh, there's an asterisk on it, and there's a pandemic, and look at the regular season that you had to play, and the Yankees had injuries, and this, that, and the other. But that flag that you raise in the outfield is going to fly forever. So I think that under a short season, the Blue Jays absolutely have to have their best pitchers in their rotation. And I think Nate Pearson is the second best pitcher in the organization.
God, what a fascinating conversation, because 2015, the Blue Jays didn't peak until long after Game 50, as we know,
that's
the second
right.
half of the season. But 2014, they you know, they faded late, but I think they after 50 games, they were the best team in the American League. The Seattle Mariners have the longest drought without making a playoff series, but you go back over the last 10, 15 years, they probably would have made the playoffs like six times if seasons were 50 games.
So it's all out the window, Wux, because you look at every weird bounce, right? Every time a ball skips over a shortstop's glove, that is so much more impactful. Every time a reliever comes in protecting a one-run lead with a runner on and just the ball slips out of his hand, it ends up being a cookie over the heart of the plate and a good hitter capitalizes on it, it's a two-run shot, wins his team a game. That's so much more impactful. All of those little random variations, little bits of luck and fortune that happen throughout an MLB season, usually there's a long enough sample size for them to all average out. But over 48 games, those little moments become so much more impactful, and we could see some crazy stuff happen.
You know what I'm not looking forward to? It's because the biggest thing, and I can't speak for you, but like it would you know, this was the theme of every Mike Wilner post-game call-in show. It was the theme of my show for years.
It's
baseball fans not, or sports fans, I should say, not understanding that baseball is not like the NFL. It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NHL. One game doesn't matter. Like it is such a big sample size, and all of a sudden, you know, if you're freaking out because they lose an early season series and player X made an error and the closer blew a save, all these stupid hot fan takes are all of a sudden validated because the season is 50 games. I think I'm going to hate it.
It's going to be. I understand what you're saying, and we, you know, Wilner cannot tell anybody that it is early after the season because
it's late.
Automatically
it's
late.
It's late. Yeah.
It is automatically, you know, the middle of August. Essentially, it's automatically a pennant race. But it is going to be such a cool little science experiment. Like, you know how many 162 game seasons like I've covered, it gets a little redundant, man. Especially with the Blue Jays. So to have this weird little experiment where anything can happen and everything matters right away, and where I don't have to have that perspective of, oh, well, this bullpen decision, yeah, it wasn't optimal at the time, but you were thinking about workloads and you weren't, you know, necessarily playing to win today. Maybe you were playing to win tomorrow and saving guys for the rest of the series, this, that, the other. All of a sudden, that stuff is all really, really important and really, really crucial. And there is like a playoff microscope on every decision that a manager makes. So to me, I am excited for that possibility, although I am not excited for the players only receiving, 33% of what they are due in their contracts this year. So I guess I'm conflicted.
Well, that's the amazing thing about this whole baseball conversation, right? We get excited talking about the games, what might happen. Then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, these guys may not agree on anything at this point. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. But let's just assume it happens, Art, and we get to see games happen again. What do we make of Vladdy Guerrero based on how last year went and him coming into spring training this year, being in better shape? What do we expect from a guy like Vladdy this year in a shortened season?
I think it'll really come down to how he has utilized these last couple months or however many weeks that it's been. It feels like years. How he has spent this time at home in the Dominican Republic, how much he's working out, what he's eating, where his conditioning is at. I mean, look, I talk about a microscope. There's going to be a microscope on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. when he comes back for spring training 2.0, what kind of shape he's in and how he looks at the plate. It's so interesting with all players, just how they will respond to this forced time off at a time in their lives when they're not used to having it. You can ask any of these guys, the last time that they went a May, a June, maybe even a July without playing baseball, I mean, you have to go back to when they were kids. So it's such a disruption to their routine. It's going to be such a challenge for them physically and mentally just to stay in game shape and stay prepared and come into spring training ready to go. Like Walker was talking about some of the narratives that are going to be flipped on their heads here. Maybe best shape your life actually does matter in spring training 2.0. Maybe that is a factor.
And is someone going to hit 400? That's going to be a fun race to keep track of as well.
Season long hitting streak. It's possible.
Yeah. Hey, you could have a game. This is what's crazy about the record. You could, if it's 50 games, you could have a hit in every game of the season, and you're still six shy of Joe DiMaggio. You need six to start next season too.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, thanks, Arden. Hopefully there's some news. Hopefully we get to Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet.ca, and you can check out to him and Ben Nicholson-Smith on the podcast, at the letters. Find that on sportsnet.ca as well.